I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not embarrassed by the fact that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, has come to rescue us from the domain of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of light. And that's good news whether you're Jewish or Gentile. Hey, if a Jew can believe in Jesus, you can believe in Jesus. And with that, we want to welcome you to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We are so delighted to come to you at the same time each day. Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A. In fact, we encourage you to visit our website. You will find so many wonderful articles, and there's sound files of some of Rabbi Lauren's sermons. There's just really a wealth of material there. So please do visit Shema.com, navigate your way around our website, and see what's there that would be of use to you. And today, it's just my absolute delight to be able to continue with part two of my interview with Martha Jacobs. Those of you who listened just the other day will remember that Martha comes from, ready? Five generations of Jewish followers of Yeshua, Jesus. Five generations. Martha's family has been following Yeshua. And this includes from a background of Orthodox rabbis in Eastern Europe, and one by one, people coming to know Yeshua as the Messiah. And so for five generations in Martha's family, people have been following Yeshua, and she herself is the fifth generation. And Martha, we welcome you back to Jesus Made Me Kosher. Thanks for giving us some more time.
Thank you. It's good to be back. And five generations is on my mother's side. On my father's side, it's three generations.
Okay, so a combined eight generations. How's that for the new math, right?
And going.
And because your children follow the Messiah, and in fact, your daughter Eliza and her husband Ellie now not only are following, but serving with Jews for Jesus, now six generations on the matriarchal side of things. So that's just really fantastic. And when we had you on last time, we talked about your family background, and it really is a considerable background. And what we want to do today is I want the Jesus Made Me Kosher listening audience to have the opportunity to hear about your own growing up in a believing family and coming to faith, but then some of the very interesting directions that God has brought you through and serving as you did with Jews for Jesus, and then how you and Rabbi Lauren met each other. So we want to hear all of these good things. So if you don't mind, Martha, tell us a little bit about growing up in a Messianic home and then your own commitment to faith.
Well, because the reading of the Bible was daily, I had a good understanding of the Jewishness of Jesus in the New Testament. So it came as a surprise to me when my Jewish friends and my Catholic friends in school both said the same thing to me. You can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. And I thought to myself, don't they read the Bible? Don't they know? I never questioned that believing in Jesus and being Jewish would contradict each other.
So was that something of a wake-up call when you first were confronted with that by Jewish people at school?
Yes, I knew on the one hand that there had to be some ignorance, but on the other hand, I realized that it was socially unacceptable. So I became a little more careful about who I talked to about my faith when I was in elementary school.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, I've been a believer in Yeshua for 31 years. And so my three children, Ari, Levi, and Anna, have had the benefit of growing up in a believing home. But, you know, as you well know, Martha, it's got to be their own. Each one of them has to make it their own. But also, there's a sense in which they've been shielded from some of the disapproval that's comes as a natural consequence of being Jewish and believing in Jesus within the Jewish community. And Levi has been spending the last 2 weeks in New York City with Jews for Jesus and has, for the first time in his life, gone out in that context and handed out tracts in New York City. And Martha, you'll get a kick out of this. The other day, it was their first going out, or what we call a sortie, their first going out to hand out tracts, and where they weren't with the staff. Right. It was just the young people, the Halutzim group. And they went out and, you know, Levi got stationed right in the Diamond District.
Right. 47th Street.
Yeah. Right where all these ultra Orthodox Hasidic Jews are. And I said, so how did that go? He said, well, it wasn't pretty. A lot of things were said. He said, but, you know, it's just as well that that I know that that's a reality of it. And so I'm like, wow, my son's been initiated. This is great. But
that is so wonderful.
So tell us a little bit about maybe your teen years as you, because as I recall, there was a period of time where you had to kind of wrestle things through and decide, well, this has got to be my own.
Absolutely. When I was around 15 years old is when it all peaked. I had a very strong bent in me toward independence. And I also just innately understood or believed that you can't argue with truth. Truth is a basic given. So I was hoping that what my parents believed wasn't the truth, because I wanted to find my own way, and I was hoping that it was a different way than my parents were going. So that was my big wrestle around the age of 15. And through a series of circumstances, God really did reveal himself to me. And I gave my life to him. I promised when he revealed himself to me that I would follow him. And it was then, for the first time, that I felt passion about reading the Bible on my own and wanting to learn about the Lord and what it meant to follow him for myself on my own, apart from my parents.
Wow. Now, that passion to make the messiahship of Jesus known to other people, that took you in a certain direction, right? Concerning your schooling and concerning what you did as you got into your 20s.
Yes. Well, one of those threads that God wove through all of this in my heart was a burden for the salvation of my own people. And the hesitancy that I felt in elementary school about talking to classmates about Jesus all changed after that decision. And in high school, I was outspoken, I was bold, and I realized that I had a lot to learn about becoming a better communicator of the gospel to my own people. That was to everybody, but I had a special passion for my own people. And that is a burden that continued to grow over time. I went to nursing school and became a registered nurse here in Michigan. I moved to Michigan after I graduated from high school. And I was working as a registered nurse in Ann Arbor my first year out of nursing school. And Jews for Jesus had a music group, the Liberated Wailing Wall, that came through town at that time. And also a evangelist with Jews for Jesus, Tovia Zaretsky, who challenged me to go out into the Ann Arbor campus and hand out some tracts, some literature, some evangelistic literature we call broadsides with him. That was the first time I ever did that.
Wow. Now, the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor has a very large Jewish student population there.
Yes, and I was hesitant. I resisted his invitation at first, and he dealt with all of my questions and challenges, and I realized that I should at least try this. And when I actually started meeting people and talking people to people and responding to students who were firing reactions and questions, I got engaged, and it set off a spark in me that within the next few months, I asked the Lord, what is going on? Because this burden that I was feeling was coming to a climax. And I felt his Holy Spirit say to me, turn to Isaiah 40. Mm. Look at verse 9. This is what I'm calling you to.
Wow.
And it says, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up and do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. And when I read that and just felt the Lord confirming what's going on, all of these emotions inside of you is because this is what I'm calling you to.
Wow. Wow. So you had been on a trajectory to go into a career of nursing, and now God was calling you to go in a trajectory of being an evangelist.
Well, I didn't see that in moving away from nursing. In my mind, I thought it meant that I would just learn some things. At that point, I had relationships with people in Jews for Jesus, and I wanted to get some training from them. And I thought, oh, I'll move to Israel and be a nurse and, you know, witness to people through nursing there.
Okay.
That's what I thought in my own mind, and God had some different plans for me. But I did end up going to New York City that summer, which was in 1975, and joined up with Jews for Jesus on their New York City campaign, their evangelistic campaign, which was actually the second year they had ever done this.
Wow.
So it was not like it is now. When I was in Tel Aviv for the first Jews for Jesus campaign and participated there, it felt like those early years in New York City, where there's so much reaction and so much hostility, and the police aren't always there for you, and you had to wear cover shirts to cover your t-shirt that proclaimed that you're a Jew for Jesus, coming and going from certain areas.
Just to avoid attack.
Yeah,
wow.
Physical attack. And but I saw that campaign confirmed for me that I was where I belonged. I saw evangelistic drama that Jews for Jesus was doing right on the street corners. They call them street testimony, dramatic testimonies and little skits, and there were crowds that were stopping and listening to the gospel. And I looked at these faces and saw that these are people who would never go into a church to hear the gospel, but they mm-hmm. would stop in the street corners and watch these skits and ask questions afterwards. So that's wow. what I did with Jews for Jesus my first year with Jews for Jesus. I joined the traveling drama team.
The New Jerusalem Players.
That's right.
That's right.
And I learned how to use drama to tell people about Jesus.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it was while you were with Jews for Jesus that you met this interesting guy, Loren Jacobs. How did that happen?
Well, at the end of my year traveling with the New Jerusalem Players, I decided to go to Moody Bible Institute for their Jewish studies courses in the missions department, because I wanted to get, I had some practical experience. I wanted to get some academic instruction and background in a formalized way. And I started in a January semester in the middle of the year, as did Loren. And so it was a much smaller orientation class that was only filled one classroom. And that's where I first met him. He had been volunteering with Jews for Jesus in the Chicago branch as a new believer in Jesus. And I had come to Chicago to go to Moody. So the people had given us both a heads up to look for each other in that first day of orientation.
Uh-huh.
And when there was a little break.
Perhaps a little matchmaking going on among friends.
Well, maybe, but that's not what happened that first day.
Okay.
We found each other, said hello, and there was a clash of strong personalities.
You are both very strong personalities. That anyone who knows you guys knows that, yes, you're both very strong. And
Well, Lauren was a new believer, and this Christian Bible Institute culture was foreign to him. He was very down to earth and culturally Jewish and direct and said what he meant and meant what he said. And whatever I said that provoked him, he said, "Look at here, sweetie." And the whole orientation class stopped and turned around and looked at us. And I said to myself, okay, this young man has a lot to learn.
Oh, boy.
To survive here at Moody Bible Institute. But he did. He learned well. He learned fast. And one of the things that drew me to Lauren was his passion for the gospel. And in spite of his being younger in the Lord than me, he had such a grasp of the scripture and a love of the scripture that he answered my questions.
Mm.
And he was hoping that Jews for Jesus would use him to speak in churches as an individual. And he was a little disappointed when they assigned him to work with me and go out to speak in churches as a two-man group.
Huh. Okay, and so you guys were really thrown together in that sense.
We were thrown together, and the reason being that I had spent a year speaking in churches with the New Jerusalem Players, and they felt that the inexperience of Lauren, they would rather have him learn from me, and I helped to train him in his early days, but he surpassed me shortly after that. We did Passover presentations, and we did dramatic presentations of short skits together, and the name that we chose for ourselves as a little group when the promo was sent out to the churches was The Chosen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was during that year of working together, because you really get to know somebody a lot quicker when you work together. It's one thing when you're on your best behavior. It's another thing when you're working together.
Yeah.
So I realized, he realized before I did, but.
That's what I was going to ask. Who liked who first?
Well, I was really surprised. I was spending so much time with him because we were memorizing our presentation and working together a lot. On the weekends, we were traveling to different churches. We saw each other in school. And yet, when I had precious little time off, I found that there was nobody I'd rather spend it with than Lauren. So that was my wake-up call.
Wow. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and we're talking to Martha Jacobs, the better half. I'll take that liberty to say the better half of Rabbi Lauren and Martha Jacobs, the head of Congregation Shema Yisrael. And we're kind of getting some background on her journey to faith and then serving with Jews for Jesus and then how she met Rabbi Lauren, and the two of them ended up getting married. And so we're glad that you're able to tune in and listen to this. Martha's one of my favorite people. And also just want to mention that you can read Rabbi Lauren's story and Martha's story on our website, want to direct you to shema.com, S-H-E-M-A.com, because you'll find their life story there and their own testimony of coming to faith and then how they've served together. Well, Martha, in our last couple of minutes together, talk to us about how God put it on your guys' heart to come out here to Michigan and start an outreach here.
Well, we already had our first son who was 18 months when Lauren started getting restless. And there were family and friends in Michigan that had been asking us to consider coming to the Detroit area because it was one of the few large Jewish population cities left in the country that did not have a Messianic congregation.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. There. Now, at the time, was it something on the order of 50,000 Jewish people here?
I think it was, for the Detroit metro area, even larger.
Wow.
We've shrunk with the changing economy in the last decade, but I may be wrong, but I think it was closer to 75,000.
Wow. Okay. So you guys, so Lauren felt a stirring in his soul about this, and then there were people already out here who were saying, please come. We would really like to have a congregation of our own out here.
That's right. That's
wow.
right.
And so what year was that?
Oh, let's see. Ari was 18 months. It must have been 1985.
Okay.
85 or 86. I think 86 was when we actually came to Michigan.
So you guys came out to Michigan and started doing a little bit of evangelism, and people were just busting down the doors to hear the gospel, right?
Well, Lauren started a Bible study in Oak Park at the Jewish the Oak Park Community Center, where there was a substantial Jewish population as well. And so we did have some very interesting interactions right at the start and landed on the front page of the Jewish News.
Wow. And I take it was probably not the most complimentary article.
Well, the editor who actually came to our home and interviewed us in our home said that there was more response to that story than anything else they had been writing.
Hmm.
So from their point of view, it was good.
Yeah, they get circulation from it.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And the opposition that formed, we were the impetus for Jews for Judaism to start here in the Detroit area.
Oh, wow.
It was in response to Lauren being out quite a bit doing evangelism.
Wow. And so we're just about out of time. But what happened was if I'm remembering right, Martha, you guys began a Bible study then also in your home.
That's right.
Which grew and grew and grew. And then eventually there was enough of, enough people and enough energy there. And a congregation was birthed from that.
That's right. For us to rent a space.
Wow. And it was originally Beth Messiah. And you guys were originally working with Harold and Grace Brickner, your
mm-hmm.
relatives, and mm-hmm. And was it Haskell Stone also?
That's right, who is no longer with us.
Yeah. And this congregation, and then eventually Rabbi Lauren and Martha, you guys started Congregation Shema Yisrael. And
mm-hmm.
this is a congregation that has grown and grown over the years. Now, for about 15 years, my wife Alexandra and I have been with you. And, yeah, we've seen just a real wonderful, vibrant community develop over the years. It's, from our perspective, it's been just a delight.
Well, we were so blessed to get you guys to move here and work with us, and I thank God every day for you guys.
I had my own restlessness, and the result was God moved us out here, and it was seamless and wonderful and joyful. Well, folks, and Martha, thank you so much for giving us some more time to hear what God has done in your life, and then together, you and Lauren. And folks, we want to invite you to come and join us at Congregation Shema Yisrael. We meet every Saturday morning at 10:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. We'd love to have you come and join us and kind of get a sense of the Jewishness of the gospel. So on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and me and everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, thanks for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow, and shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.